We always appreciate the choir. They do a great job every Sunday, and we appreciate them for their faithfulness to come, and those that play, and Leonard for leading. We appreciate all of you for being a part of the worship. You know, sometimes somebody will give you some information, and then they'll make a statement like, "You can take that to the bank." Or they make a statement like, "That's as good as gold." Or, "I'll stake my life on it." And what they're trying to do is get you to believe that whatever it is that they tell you is the absolute gospel truth. That what they're wanting to tell you is real, it's true, it's reliable, it's certain. Well, I was reading a devotional book a few weeks ago, and the writer pointed out that Paul has a statement like that. Paul calls, several times, Paul uses the phrase, "It is a faithful saying." Now, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read one of these faithful sayings. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Paul says, what I'm about to tell you is a faithful saying. It's true. It's reliable. It's dependable. And it's worthy of you accepting it and basing your life on it. Paul says, now this is important. It's a faithful saying. And what does he go on and tell us that the faithful saying is? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said it's a faithful saying, it's reliable to believe that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, we can go back as far as we can read in history. You can go to anywhere in the world, and everybody just about believes that somewhere, somehow, there's a God, and I've got to please him. I mean, they may leave food at the base of a tree. They may carve an idol out of wood, stone, or make one out of silver or gold. They may offer animal sacrifices. They may offer human sacrifices. They may do all kind of rituals and other things, but there's something in the heart of man that realizes there's a God, and I need to be in a relationship with him. And how do I get there? And Paul says, it's this simple. Jesus came to save sinners. He came, he lived a sinless life. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the grave to validate that God the Father was accepting of that sacrifice. And now through the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. Paul says it's a faithful, reliable, true, dependable statement that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, it's interesting if you go back a few hundred years and start reading some of the words of unbelievers, agnostics, atheists, they will say, or they said back then, there was no Jesus. It's just all a made-up story. But then, all of a sudden, people started finding the works of the Jewish historian Josephus, and Tacitus, and some others who were not Christian, but they wrote about Jesus. They were people, you know, that in the day of Jesus, or right after the day of Jesus, they wrote about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, for these people to deny that there really was a Jesus made them intellectually dishonest. They could either, you know, close their eyes to the truth, or they had to admit, well, yeah, there was a Jesus. So then many of them adopted the thought, well, there was a Jesus who went about doing good, but that's all. But Paul says it's more than that. Jesus came to save sinners. And we know that we need a Savior. And I pray that every person here has accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We'll say more about that in a little bit, but Paul goes on to say, and after he said to save sinners, he says, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, Paul says, listen, Jesus came to save sinners, and I was the worst sinner there ever was. And if Jesus could save me, everybody else is a piece of cake. Now, from time to time, you're going to meet some folks that say, well, Ed, I understand I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. But, you know, I'm so bad that Jesus can't save me. I've done so much terrible stuff that I can't be saved. I can't make it. Paul said, listen, if Jesus saved me, he can save you. And that means we've got good news to tell the world. We've got good news to tell the world. A faithful saying worthy of being accepted is that Jesus came to save every lost man and every lost woman, every lost boy and girl in this whole world. Praise the Lord for that news. Now, how concerned are we and how excited are we about sharing that news? If one day this week you're out in the yard raking leaves and you look over there and your house is on fire and you know some of your family's in the house, are you going to say, well, they'll get out? They'll be all right. Are you going to be dialing your cell phone with one hand, calling the fire department? Are you going to be beating on the door with the other hand? Get out, get out, get out. That's what you're going to be doing, isn't it? Because you're concerned about your family. We need to be that way about our neighbors. I was thinking this morning, you know, I've got a neighbor. I've looked out the window. I've seen him pick up trash in his yard and come throw it in my yard. I've seen him out there after he's mowed his yard with his blower blowing stuff into my yard. But if I go home and his house is on fire, I'm still going to go knock on his door and tell him to get out. Well, folks, shouldn't we be just as concerned about people that are in danger of the fires of hell, the lake of fire for all of eternity? Paul says Jesus came to save sinners. And everybody deserves to hear that news. Now, they might not all accept it. Some of them are going to laugh at you. My house isn't on fire. I don't smell any smoke. But that's their decision. We ought to at least warn them. Paul says it's a faithful saying that Jesus came to save sinners. And we need to keep that all in mind. Now, there's at least three other times that Paul uses that phrase, and let's look at some of them. And the next one is 1 Timothy chapter 4. For godly exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Godliness, he says, is profitable, both in this life and in the life to come. He says it's a faithful saying that if you live a godly life, you're going to be blessed here and you're going to be blessed in the life to come. He said you can stake your life on that. And I got to thinking, you know, you could live a God, even a lost person, if they live some godly principles, would be blessed. You know, you don't drink and you don't do drugs and you don't gamble and everything. You got a lot of money you didn't waste that you've got to, you can spend on other things. You know, you don't shoot people and you don't do other things. You don't spend time in the penitentiary. But when you add in and live a godly life because of the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, what a difference that makes. Your life is just blessed in every way. You're blessed financially, you're blessed physically, you're blessed in relationships. You know, you got a husband and wife both living a godly life, you're not paying, then you're not going to be paying for an expensive divorce. All kinds of ways that we are blessed because of a godly life. And then when we step over into glory, we're going to be rewarded on the life that we lived. You know, they talk about some folks are living their life and building it out of wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burned up, and others are building their life on gold and gems and precious stones and silver, and they're going to be blessed and rewarded in heaven. I don't understand how God's going to take care of all of us and reward us the way we need to be rewarded, but the Bible says that's the way it's going to be. He says it's a faithful saying that godliness is profitable. And he used the illustration there before that, you know, exercise is profitable, sort of. And you know, you may live longer if you exercise. You may have a healthier life if you exercise. But what if you're an Olympic athlete and die and go to hell? What's the difference it make? What if you're an all-star football player, basketball player, and die without Jesus? It's all wood, hay, and stubble. He said, godliness is profitable to all things. Now, let's turn to the third time Paul uses that, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Notice several things there that are a result of what Paul calls a faithful saying. He says we die to sin, we die to self, but we live to Christ. What was the illustration in your lesson this morning? About the person who was praying, Lord, I'll take any job that nobody else wants. And didn't even recognize it. You know, there are times we have to die to self. It's not my will, Lord, but your will. What do you want me to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live my life? And we choose to die to self, but we live to Christ. And the end result is blessing. And then he says, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. Not R-A-I-N, R-E-I-G-N. We're going to be rulers in authority with him. We suffer with him, we rule with him. You know, sometimes I get these sort of weird little thoughts, and I had one about this scripture. Picture this with me. Here's some guy, he hates Christians. He tortures Christians. He persecutes Christians. He has them put to death. And while he's in the process of doing this, the rapture happens and all the Christians go to heaven. They have the 7-year tribulation. Jesus returns. And this guy somehow makes it through all the way. And suddenly, he's got business to do downtown. And he walks into the mayor's office, and there looking at him in his glorified body is one of the guys he put to death. He looks over there at the police chief, and that's another one guy that's in his glorified body that he put to death. And over here sits the judge in his glorified body, and he realizes he put him to death. Don't you think he's going to go trembling in his boots? Jesus says, we're going to reign with him. You know, somebody's in the millennium, somebody's going to be the mayor of Oakborough that's a born again in their glorified body believer. Might be you. Somebody's going to be the police chief. Somebody's going to be the judge. Can you imagine? I don't know, I guess you've got this little whimsical thought. Here's this guy, he put all these Christians to death, and now he's looking at them, they are in the authority, and he's nothing. Paul says, it's a faithful saying. You suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. There may be people that persecute you, there may be people that hate you, and there may be people even that put you to death. But one of these days, it's going to totally turn around, and you're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. What a beautiful picture. And then he says, even when we have doubts and fears, Jesus will not deny himself. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Jesus is going to be faithful whether we are or not. There may be some times we fear, we doubt, we don't understand, but you can always depend on the Lord. Now the fourth time he uses this is over in the book of Titus. Fourth faithful saying is over in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 8, Titus 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. He says, saved folks are going to live it. Saved folks are going to do good works. He said, it's faithful to believe and know that if people are really born again, they're going to do good. Now, sometimes we don't understand what it really means to be a Christian. And I think a little bit your Sunday school lesson brought this up too. I remember over 50 years ago talking with a guy about being a Christian. And here's what he told me. He said, when I get to the age I want to decide, I'm going to investigate a number of religions. And he named off several like Buddhism and Confucianism and Christianity. And he said, then I'm going to choose which one I like best. Well, folks, you can choose Christianity, but you're still going to hell. You don't choose Christianity. You're born into Christianity through the new birth, through the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit convicts you that you're lost and that you need a Savior and that Jesus is the Savior, and you say yes. Amen. And when a person is truly born again, Jesus comes to live within. And when Jesus lives within, what does it say? Jesus went about doing good works and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When Jesus lives within, we're going to do some good stuff. According to our own spiritual gifts, according to our own opportunities, according to our own abilities. You know, there are people that can sit down and write $1 million check, and there's other people that it's tough to write a $10 check, but hey, we do what we can do. There are pastors that can pastor these 10,000 member churches, but I don't want it. You know, and if the Lord called me, I'd say, oh, are you sure? But, you know, we all have our different abilities and gifts. And one person can go into a sick room and just upchuck. And another can go in a sick room and just love folks and minister to them and bless them. That doesn't mean one's better than the other. It just means we're different. But Paul says it's a faithful saying that if you are truly born again, you're going to do good works. Your life is going to exhibit the presence of Jesus in you in the way you live. And when you see somebody that says, I'm a Christian, but you never see any Jesus in them, you need to wonder, who are they fooling? Who are they fooling? Paul says it's a faithful saying that Jesus came to save sinners. It's a faithful saying that we're going to do good works. It's a faithful saying that we can reign with Him. It's a faithful saying we're going to live a godly life. He says you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. And folks, the world needs to see real Christians. They've seen a lot of church members, but they need to see some real Christians with Jesus living in us and through us making a difference. When you can see Jesus in somebody, you're blessed. And when a lost person sees Jesus in somebody, I remind you of what Pam shared the other week. Linda said, I want what you've got. I want the Jesus I see in you. I've been going to church all my life, but I want the Jesus I see in you. Folks, that's what the world wants to see. Jesus living in us. And that will make all the difference. And whether a lot of folks spend eternity in heaven or hell. As we have the invitation, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus came to save sinners and you qualify. If the Lord laid on your heart somebody whose house is burning in a sense, would you make a commitment to the Lord that I'm going to pray for that person and go and share Jesus with them? And would you let Jesus really live in you and glorify Himself through you this week? As we sing, you can come to the altar or make a commitment right where you stand.